It's time to get real, reality TV aficionados. Welcome to the Giorgio Says Podcast. I'm your host, the one and only Giorgio Takanakis, and I'm here serving you the juiciest updates on all your favorite reality shows weekly, as well as the hottest pop culture trends, and even exclusive interviews that will leave you wanting more. This podcast will keep you on the edge of your seat. We definitely need to talk about this. The Giorgio Says Podcast starts now.
All right, my friends, welcome to an all new episode of Giorgio Says the Podcast. And you know what day it is? It's the Valley Day. We're recapping with our resident bestie, Caitlin Marshall. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi. Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, we absolutely need to discuss this show. My seat has caved in. I am so sad after last night's episode. This was a wild, wild episode. And I don't even know how many episodes we're getting of this show for season one, but it is very... Anyways, we're going to get into it. The last few minutes of this episode was wild. Kristen was wrong again. She got it wrong again.
God bless her. I don't.
First of all, you cannot be this loud and wrong twice.
She's like that auntie that like is repeating the gossip and you're like, no, auntie, it wasn't so-and-so that said this. It was so-and-so. And no, it's just like.
Oh my gosh.
Auntie Kristen, you got it wrong.
The way Jesse was relieved when she said it that way, because he was like, I didn't even say that. That's so dumb. Like,
he was like, oh shit, which thing?
But
which
Jax thing? Was worried because, oh my God, we're jumping so far ahead. But yes, I just was like, literally like, what is going on?
Oh, it was
authentic. Kristen spilled some tea at the very end before she got on that elevator, before she said, I'd rather be back on Vanderpump Rules.
She sure did.
I keep forgetting these are the same people that film Vanderpump Rules. So she's probably like, you know what, mother? You guys are fucking with me.
She's like, I've been down this road before. I dealt with Stassi. I already dealt with Jax. I dealt with Sandoval, Schwartz, all of them. She's like, y'all are the newbies, not me.
What an episode this was, though. I mean, this was some great reality. This is great reality television.
So good. It's so good. Every character is like perfectly placed. Anyone who says they aren't into this, I'm like, what is wrong with you? It's so good. Give it a chance.
You clearly haven't watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no way. And I was the same way. I was like, okay, this is going to be really, really, really thirsty.
Thought so,
it
too.
It is not. It is so crazy wackadoodle. It is wackadoodle time in the valley, everyone. Yes. Go watch it. You're missing out, I swear. This is not a sponsored recap.
No, we wish.
Oh, out of the genuine... of our souls.
Yes.
We start the episode with Kristen and Luke, and Is Kristen ADHD, or did they just edit her in a way? She was like, huh, what? But it was like serious things he was talking about. It wasn't like random things. I'm like, is she ADHD, or are they editing her to come off like she's more ditzy and like not clearly paying attention?
You know, all I could think was, can you imagine what it was like when she was friends with Joe and what their conversations were actually like? I was like, oh my God. You know, I think Kristen is just one of those people that she is. Yeah, actually, now that I'm starting to say it, it's quite possible she's ADHD, because she will hyper focus and hyper fixate on something, and she doesn't let it go. And I got, you know, and I live in Denver. So, you know, when she was talking with him about Colorado, I was like, come on, it's not so bad. But then she was saying that they only just got electricity at Luke's ranch. And you have to bring your own water. Now, like, there's something that's normal here, especially for people who are in the foothills or in the mountains. My grandparents' house that was in Evergreen, they had well water, which is still, you don't have to bring your own water, but you are limited. I would always get in trouble for taking long hot showers when I'd visit because there is a limited amount of water, but
yeah.
I don't really blame her for not wanting to reside at Luke's ranch just yet. We'll say that.
Yeah. No blame here.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
I, when she said that, I was like, oh no, I get it. I would be like,
done.
Yeah, no, we're good. You can move your bow and arrow over here. I don't know where
you're going to shoot.
I don't know where you're going to shoot it. But yeah, no, it's clear though that Luke wants to feel like he actually has a space in that mm-hmm. space. And obviously we got to look around. It's Kristen's apartment. there's not anything in there that remotely looks like there's a man living there at all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. Also, this whole baby making situation is confusing me because of the fact that we still are trying to figure out where Luke can shoot his bow and arrow and fish. So, do you know what I mean? And it was like, even like Jeff and I were like, we stopped when we were watching and I was like, they're like, they're like doing this. So everything is
backwards.
Way backwards about it. You guys can't even figure out what's going on, and now but you're like really trying hard to have a baby. It just seems a little, like I said, wackadoodle in that regard. Not trying to have a baby, the way in which you're trying to go about doing this is
exactly
wackadoodle.
You know, it reminds me almost of how I've always wondered how those military spouses could do it, where, you know, women or, you know, would be having a newborn while their husband's deployed. And to me, that, because I've been through having a baby and I have a toddler, and that I've talked ad nauseum about how that newborn phase can be, some babies sleep, some babies are just, you know, simple, but some babies don't. And like, if you don't have a partner there with you, oh my God. Like, just having, even if it's like, okay, I need to shower, but I don't want to have to do everything while the baby is sleeping. Mm-hmm. And you cannot sleep while the baby is sleeping because you have so many things you got to do. And I mean, I can't imagine. And I used to live in that building. And so this is something else that I keep thinking about, is they have lovely hardwood floors in the living rooms throughout all of the levels. So all the way up to the very top floor, it is so loud when you are, like, if someone is above you, you can imagine someone walking on hardwood above you.
Right.
And so you can hear everything. And that's also like, yes, the bedrooms are carpeted. I mean, I had almost the exact same layout Kristen does. And so like, yes, above the bedroom. But when I tell you, all it takes is someone to have a dog and their claws and stuff. So it's not even necessarily the best spot to have a baby. But I mean, I don't know. I get just wanting to try, and because it's not something that for a lot of people happens like at the snap of a finger, but I mean, I don't think she's ready and I don't think he's ready. And
I really don't understand it. It's not for me to understand, but I still want to understand, if that makes sense.
It's the biological. Yeah, exactly. It's the biological clock thing.
And I clearly see that from her side. I think he's obviously mm-hmm. just trying to, I think he would like to have a baby with her, but I think he's also just appeasing her because of timing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine this man has no sense about him that he wouldn't look at it and be like, well, maybe we should decide on what city we're going to live in.
Yeah. I mean, and going, and people always are like, well, you can always do IVF if it's not, do you know how expensive that is?
It's not cheap to do that. Like, it's not, yeah, it's like people go into debt doing that to try to have a baby.
I have one of my close friends. She has two kids. She had what was called unexplained infertility. They had no, I mean, they were presenting her case to medical conferences. I think they spent $75,000 in total. She even went to like Beyonce's fertility doctor. She came to Colorado. She went to multiple. And between all of that, to have her two babies, about $75,000.
The amount of money it cost to get Shannon Medora a facelift and a neck lift. Thank you, John Jansen. Listen. I've had OC on the brain. Excuse me.
That's, yeah.
Jax is messy, though.
He is a gossip queen.
Is messy, but you know what? I have to give it to Jasmine because she knew the entire time that he was being messy because she called it very clearly. It's like he presents it like you should just know this, but secretly it's like, and also do something with it.
I like Jasmine a lot.
She's great.
I wish they had her as one of the, she and Zach need to be main cast members just because they're not in a married couple or in a couple. That's the, is that the prerequisite? But I think she is hysterical. She is so grounded. And I was thinking as they meet up together, I'm like, Jasmine would never go hang out with Jax Taylor one-on-one, but maybe to get some gossip and enjoy a little bit of it. You know, I think she enjoys it, but she's not like trying to be in the mess. You know what I'm saying?
Well, no, because I mean, initially, she was authentically there to try to help
Brittany.
The situation between Brittany and Jax and the fact that they're not intimate and the things that Brittany spoke about at girls' night. And then from there just turned into, you never know what Kristen's going to say when she walks in the fucking door. And then, you know, oh, by the way, Michelle might be, have been talking to somebody apparently. And like, oh, and also Jesse told me when we were leaving the fair that, you know, she'll probably leave him in about 2 months. So, you know, but anyways.
Well, okay. And then I don't know if this is acceptable to bring up. So feel free to take this out if you need to. Did you not find it ironic how Jax was saying he wanted to get out with Brittany and like bang her in a bathroom when all those rumors are going around about him and their publicist? I was like, oh.
Jax loves a bathroom banger. Okay.
Gross.
I don't understand it, quite frankly, because unless it was my bath, like my home bath, where I know different. What's happening in those spaces. Like,
so
to me, I get it. If that's your thing, it's wild and crazy, you know, public restroom. We just like, woo. But then also like gross.
I mean, I don't even want to hang out in a public restroom, let alone knock one
out. Yeah, like, baby. I'm not trying to be in there, like, hanging out like it's the club. Like, you know, back in the day, everyone congregated in the bathroom for different reasons. But, like, I'm not going to go randomly when we're at, like, Olive Garden and go into the bathroom and just do, like, a quickie with you.
And, you know, get a hold of your breadstick.
That's not what's going to fix the intimacy issue. But he's just up, you know what it is? Jax is just old. And it's one of those, you either take him or leave him in this man. He's just a pervy guy. He is like, we saw him when those bartenders were coming into interview, especially the one that was wearing the black tank top and was like, yeah.
Free boob in it. Yeah.
He's that, you're not going to not see him gawk. You're not going to not see him be like, slightly inappropriate in the moment.
I can't imagine being married to him.
No, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I think that's the point where everyone's confused a little bit is like, how on earth can you, like, I would be, there would be nothing left. Everything would have been burned down by now because it would just be like infuriating. Rotten hail.
Rotten hail.
God. So, you know, I don't know what Jasmine is supposed to do with this information. So messy. What she's supposed to do exactly with this information, but it's just, I don't know. See, this is where I'm getting confused. So if Jasmine is the one that got the information, not saying no one else knows about this, but if she was the one told on camera specifically about this, I wonder how many other people know and are just waiting to see who is going to say it. Because the way certain people, Janet, were trying to get the information from Jasmine later in the episode was very telling of who I essentially pegged Janet for after Jax called her out.
Yeah, we both were like,
you're a mess,
clearly,
Janet. You are a mess.
If Jax calls you that, we know, okay?
Takes one to know one.
Hey, so, you're pregnant. It can be a little boring being pregnant.
I'm
so
thinking that there's a lot more people that do know this information and are just being like, I'm not going to say it.
Because Jesse goes nuts.
Well, are you crazy? That man. Because at first I'm like, are you doing this for the cameras? Or are you really like crazy, crazy like this? Like you snap like that fast.
I think he snaps that fast. You know,
that's wild.
He's one of those guys that like... He's just always been loud. He was that guy in high school. He was, because he's not like a big dude, clearly. And so he definitely barks as loud as he can. That that table banging, you know, and the way you see Michelle being ready to yell over everyone, she's used to doing that with him. That's not your go-to. If you're not used to having to do that all the time, that's not your go-to to get people to listen. And so to me, that says he does that a lot.
Fun. I mean, listen, Jesse could be an entire podcast series just breaking down the type of guy that that man is. Because it's just one, every episode, I'm just like, wow, you, every time I think you've pissed me off or irritated the living mess out of me and I can't go any further, you somehow find, you somehow find a way to make the blood boil just a little bit hotter. Do you
have
know
you
what
noticed?
I mean?
Oh, yeah. And have you noticed his hair in confessional? He looks like a girl
what?
Who took a
is
headband
he wearing a,
off.
Like a... I thought
no,
he was wearing a band.
No, it looks like he took one off.
Oh, and it
you know
left
what I'm talking
like an
about?
Indent in the hairline.
Yeah, it almost seems like that's maybe how he tries to get the volume because it is such a like straight
push.
Yeah, like,
like a bump it.
And he like
he
put
needs
it
a
on
bump it.
And let it set and then he took it off.
You know, he sprays the living out of that hair.
Yeah, I mean, there is one thing you can say about the majority of the men on this cast. They do all have pretty decent hair, which we'll, obviously we'll get to that point. But
fucking
yeah, no,
fantastic
just,
hair.
Yeah.
Fantastic hair. Bravo to you gentlemen out there. The hairlines, the thickness. I mean, it's not like I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
And women it. Lose hair too. I get it, you know?
You know, the whole hair thing was really interesting. We'll get into it. But I really was like, I appreciate the fact that it's at least we're not BSing around this too much. Like, I know
exactly.
He's playing into the story, but I do appreciate that we're being honest.
Yeah.
But what I thought was very interesting was we have now Jax, who is trying to call the fellas and call everyone up because he wants to, you know, invite them to this hair loss company event sponsored post
partnership
or whatnot. And he has a moment where he's talking to Jason and there's like some echoing going on and Jax is like, Are you on an Android? Or, like, mm-hmm. why is it echoing? Let me call you back. And we have this moment where Jax does everything in his power to pretend like he has no idea what Instagram calling is. I don't know how to use my phone at all.
And Brittany won't let me have WhatsApp.
And rightfully so, because do you know me? And so he's like telling us essentially why it's very justifiable why she has these really crazy restrictions on his communication app. To the point where he's on camera really trying to weigh it down to be like, I really don't know how to use any call functions on any of these other apps outside the phone button on my phone that came with it. Her Brittany's ways of working.
Yeah, you know, Jax is someone who will do whenever he's in the mood, he's going to feign innocence about anything and everything about himself. We saw it on Vanderpump Rules this week as well. Mm-hmm. But when he wants us to believe he's just a good little boy, just a good little family man, he's gonna. It's like,
but
he gets
not though, because in the same breath he says that he's basically a scumbag.
Yeah,
in little or no words, right? And I just feel like it's such a weird. It's got to be so weird being married to someone like that, who's like upfront about the fact that they're a scumbag, but then they somehow also make you feel like they won't do it again.
It depends on the day. I think it depends on what day he decide which day he's waking up. If he's like, no, I'm a father, I'm a family man today, as he's constantly. And we don't need to even answer why that man has had to have so many nose jobs. But and then the next day, no, I am a scumbag. I want to get into some mess. It's like the irony, too, of him saying how he needs everything so clean, orderly, hates mess when that man lives in mess. That is where he loves to roll around. And I just it makes me wonder if something happened, too, with. Like WhatsApp or something like that.
Oh, you know it did. You know it did. Why was specifically WhatsApp? Like there's something there.
So
there's a reason. Trust and believe.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
And it's probably for very good reason. And he even admits to that. So that should tell you something, folks.
Yep.
Someone tells you something about themselves.
Believe
that.
It. Believe it.
You're not gonna change it. Ask mm-hmm. Brittany. You know, I love this couple. I love them so much. Danny and Nia are probably the quintessential, like, valley couple. Okay.
They
have
are precious.
Going on, baby. Like, they just, even if they don't have it figured out, I would go spend the night at their place if shit went down.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel safe. I would feel safe in their space. I feel like they would genuinely try to be supportive and help you with whatever, in whatever way that they could. I don't know. There's just something there about them that I really, really enjoy watching. Maybe it helps because they balance out the ones that are on here being
crazy.
Like crazy wackadoodles, and quite literally just trying to live a normal life. And I'm being like, you got things, sweetie. And they're like,
you're
I'm
doing
being amazing. A normal person raising children with my husband.
Well, it's like Brittany and Jax think that they're mom and dad, but really that's Danny and Nia.
I wouldn't go over to Jax and Brittany's if I had an issue about anything.
Not if you don't want it broadcast to the world and, you know...
Well, that, and also it just feels like I would leave feeling worse about myself somehow.
That's what I was about
you know
to
I mean?
Say.
Like,
you'd leave
I would
feeling
like,
worse.
What?
Yeah. What? I thought this was supposed to, never mind.
But, you know, and also appreciate Nia being transparent that she does have a sponsored post that is due. The draft is due soon. We've all been there. If you're a content creator out there, you know the feeling. And, you know, we say yes to things sometimes that does require us to have to put things together. In her situation, however, it was a crib.
Oh, my God.
And when I tell you, I have never felt more butch watching these three heterosexual men try to use a drill, and carry something, just take something apart. And thank God we didn't have to watch them put that thing together, because
They didn't. They called TaskRabbit.
You know, he absolutely had TaskRabbit on it, because I was like, I'm not putting my babies in that. And I wouldn't. I'd be like, no, you guys can do a pretend scene of you putting it together, but you better have TaskRabbit people come fix that sturdy for my sponsored post.
They better be on their way when you open that box.
They better be out here waiting.
Yes.
Waiting. The draft is due, Danny boy.
Exactly. I'm more surprised that Jesse even claims he owns a drill. My God.
It's probably Michelle's.
Yeah. I mean, if she called the women over.
Look like he, first of all, he said he's not the guy to fix and build things. He's the guy you come to for food, fashion. Give me a break. Give me a break, Jesse.
Yeah, truly, though.
He's wild. He has so much self-esteem. Is wild.
You know, I think maybe his mother whispered way too many confidence boosting phrases.
That man knew that his dick was made out of gold, and he was the best thing next to sliced bread that ever came out. No, ever can forget it, Jesse boy.
Exactly. And was telling him, you have 20-pound balls between those little legs of yours, honey.
It's just insanity. Like, I love it. I just love the fact that we have people like this that are willing to be on TV and just put that shit on blast.
I know.
Not for a second stop and think in the moment, like, how is this going to land with people?
No. Jesse is the type that thinks he should have. He's like, why didn't you come to me to be on a television show sooner?
Yeah. He's like, I've been waiting. My marriage is literally falling apart like 3 years ago, essentially.
It's on a timer, y'all. You should have come sooner. We would have given you more material.
Well, at any rate, the problem is that, you know, it's clear on the conversation that was had between Danny and Jesse and Jason, who were there helping, that when Jesse's talking about how he's, you know, seeking some more like treatments that are more on the botanical side and, you know, doing the, you know, ayahuasca and going down that rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. And although that's great, if that's your personal choice to do that, if that's what's going to heal and help kind of give you what you need, great. But it's also clear that your wife has no interest in working on making this marriage better. And we saw that last episode. I believe it was last week's episode, where it was clear her energy was like done. Her face was done. Her like responses was, I'm done. Like, what else do you want? Like, do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, why are we not just calling the elephant out and just say, let's stop wasting our money on therapy. I'll just invest that into my own personal growth, because it's clear this is going nowhere, so that I can be the best dad and co-parent with you. That's it. Do you know what I mean?
That's exactly that. If you want to do the, I see a cellophane, if that's what it was called, I may have gotten the name wrong, and ayahuasca for your own personal journey of growth and self-reflection, discovery, what have you, that's fine. I don't see ayahuasca helping you with your marriage. It needs to be the real purpose. And I also think he just wants to see what it's like to do something that's, is ayahuasca considered a psychedelic?
It is. I mean, it's very intense from what I understand.
Yeah. But, lots of vomiting,
you know,
from what I hear.
Listen, this guy likes to drink and party, and, you know, the nature in which he, even where their house sits, you want to be in this lifestyle. And it's not to say that Michelle doesn't, and she doesn't want to do it with you.
Yeah. I mean, if you can walk down to Chateau from their house, that area, there's a lot you can walk down to, but if Chateau is your, like, selling point of where you live, that says a lot to me. We all know what Chateau Marmont, it obviously it's where celebs hang out, what have you, but there's a lot that goes down at Chateau.
Shout out to the Chateau Marmont.
Yes.
Not sponsored. No, I think that the whole situation around Jesse and Michelle is Jesse, someone that wants a wife because he doesn't want to accept defeat. It's not because of anything other than that. He doesn't want to say that that this happened, because then he has to somehow reconcile that with not looking bad somehow.
Yeah, he's very good at making himself look terrible. So it would have nothing to do with his marriage. But, they just don't even seem to like each other
at all.
And that's the thing. I was saying this to someone the other day, and it's one thing. Yes, you can love someone, but if you don't even like them, it's only your blood family members that's normally acceptable. And that may be a controversial statement, but you don't have to like the family members you didn't get to choose. The family members you get to choose, you should at least like them, because your partner is your family member.
Yes,
so
and this is by choice, mm-hmm. Your partner that you're raising a child with, that's a choice. That's not someone mm-hmm. that was handed to you and now you are stuck with them. I think I honestly think that these two came onto the show for different reasons.
Yeah.
She came on because she was setting herself up, because she knows that she was exiting this marriage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think he went into it thinking, if I paint this picture that I'm really trying, she'll maybe see that and then maybe have a change of heart. And I'm just speculating, obviously. But that's how it feels based on what he's providing in terms of mm-hmm. this is where I'm at in this relationship. It's very much she's going to be the one that discards it. It's not going to be me. You cannot say I'm the one that left this marriage and my child. It's going to be her that did that. We heard him say that similarly when he was talking about if he had found out that she was cheating, that he would make sure that their daughter knew that that her mom essentially demolished the household and marriage, which, by the way, is enough trauma to put anybody in therapy for the rest of their life. Telling you don't tell your kid that.
No, when they're old enough, if they ask what happened. Yeah, exactly. And it goes to show that, and there's nothing wrong with a certain aspect of if someone cheats on you, it also is such an ego wound. But for him, it is only about the strike to his ego. If it's less about how it would be painful to know that she sought affection, love, anything elsewhere. Because for most people who are in a relationship that they actually have genuine care for the other person, that's part of what's so painful, was it being that you weren't enough or that they just wanted someone else. But for him, it's more about the ego side of it, that it would look as though he wasn't good enough for her, not that it would feel that way. At least that's the way he portrays it, in my opinion.
Well, I'm busting out my infamous list of another reason why I will not be having children. I don't want to have to explain shit like this to a child or a young adult or at all.
Sometimes you can also look at it as giving a human being enough trauma to be funny, have a sense of humor.
I mean, there's enough going on to have a sense of humor about baby. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the one to have to cave your whole dream and be like, your vision of your other parent is, let me tell you why.
Well, and it's almost as though he thinks that his child has not seen how I'm certain he speaks to her mother in front of her.
And them hands. Slow down. Mm-hmm. The hands.
Mm-hmm. How many tables has he slammed on in their home?
Listen, you know what? There's a lot of things I could say about his behavior. in the last few minutes of that episode, but I need to bring Vanessa on here. Vanessa, if you're listening to this episode, I'm going to reach out to you. Vanessa, I've had her on the podcast.
Yes.
She deals with narcissistic abuse. She runs a whole therapy community where she helps women unlearn those things that come along with that. I would love to have her. I would love to have her on and break him down when the season's over, just so we can get a full roundup of what we've seen and get her take on him.
And your bish therapist is very good at breaking that down.
She would be great.
She's fantastic.
Maybe Melissa, I'll reach out to her since I've already had Vanessa on. No offense, Vanessa. Sorry. I'm just trying to spread the love. But yes, no, you're right.
You should reach out to Melissa. I had her on mine and she's so kind and she's very empathetic. And she only is on, she's not going to be on one person's team or the other, just whoever. She's just going to be empathetic to everyone. Team accountability is what she typically says. So there you go.
Well, we love someone who is not biased. I'll tell you that.
Not like us.
I mean, I try to be biased, but in certain situations, I just cannot.
Yeah, it's
honest. I'm a human
being.
We're
humans. So. Exactly. We're humans with opinions. That's my opinion.
Listen, what is the deal with this like bar situation? Because I have a feeling that Jax is not being upfront about what all of the stressors are.
Exactly.
Alluding to the fact that we need income coming in. And she doesn't seem to be as perplexed nor stressed about it. And we also find out that they do split bills.
Yes. She pays like electricity and everything for Cruz. And I think she has the car insurance stuff. I don't know how much their mortgage is, but he covers the mortgage. And I assume the taxes on it because, well, we saw how he got a bit behind on those. But I think he sorted them out. But I think he is, the way he is treating the opening of this bar, it's like he wants to prove he can do it in a better way than Tom Schwartz and Tom Sandoval. He is desperate to prove that.
1,000%. It's a pissing match. It always is.
Listen. And he's seeing it's not that easy. And so now I think that's also why he's stressed, is he doesn't want to look like an even bigger buffoon than he is. And I also think he invested more money than he says he invested nothing, which I believe that zero.
Well, the other problem is too, when you've got other people giving money to the pot that you're investing in this, they want their money back. And that's enough to keep anyone up at night. So I just,
stressful
for me, I don't understand why this is the first way to try to make money. It is such a saturated market at this point in that town.
I know exactly where it is.
And the theme of it, all of that going, like, yes, every week someone's opening up a new something. Okay. Something about her who's
yes,
finally opening. I want my Greek sandwich.
Me too.
Without the
Me
feta.
Too.
But I want it.
You don't like feta? Oh,
I will throw up all over everyone at something about
really?
Her if I have to eat feta.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't like goat milk. I like my goats where I can see them, pet them, and snuggle them. Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, what were we talking about before we started talking about goats? Oh, okay, right. This is what happens, folks. If we don't keep in line, we'll end up talking about cows and grass and something that has nothing to do with the valley. No, I think Jax really wants to prove to also Lisa Vanderpump that he can do it, because for some reason there's this, if we're looking at it from Lisa Vanderpump being a mom figure,
mm-hmm.
and you know, Sandoval, Schwartz, James, Jax, they're all like her sons.
Yeah, except I feel like Jax is the most disrespectful son of
and
them all.
And Jax would be the son that constantly messed up and lost more and more trust and then gets to a point where all he's trying to do is prove everyone wrong. And I just, there's something off though. That conversation with him and Brittany at the back of the bar, when he was being like, I'm going to cry. And I'm like,
as he's,
there's more to this than just the bar is stressful to open, which I can't imagine. I can't imagine the pressure of that. However, you also knew going into doing this what it would do financially. I'm concerned that maybe she's not aware that maybe he's not in the place that she thinks he's in because they clearly split their bills and finances. So she wouldn't necessarily know every little thing. I don't know. I'm not quite certain how I feel about this. And it could be that it's playing out right now. It doesn't look like it. I'm not saying that was the downfall of the relationship, but it didn't help. And I struggle with why he would choose to do this at this stage of life. Also, when they're trying to have another baby, which adult maybe, clearly they're not.
Yeah, you know, and I was just looking up the area that that's in, and I'm pretty positive that my son's dad used to work at a restaurant that is literally down the street from it. And it's not a bad area for a bar. I mean, because I remember noticing it was across from the Bath and Body Works, at Bath and Body Works, Bed Bath and Beyond, which I thought they all went bankrupt, but okay. Anyway, but the point is the number of spots on Ventura Boulevard in Studio City that I have, like, there's even just, and I'm wondering if it's this one particular location. I don't think it is, but there's one in particular. I have seen about five different restaurants come and go just in my time of like 5 years living in the Valley and the last 5 years I spent in LA. And it's kind of like, unless you have a way to really make your place be that spot that is the neighborhood hangout, and you don't have a way to make it be a comfortable space for regulars in that area, it's going to be gone within 2 years. So I have concern about that as well. But again, it's like he really is, like you were saying, trying to prove to mommy Lisa that he can... I can get a show back. I can be on TV again. I can open a bar. I'm going to show you how much better I can be at opening a bar. And yes, his bar is open. It opened faster. Mm-hmm. But I think that's, again, it's another thing that was, one, a lot more about the ego aspect of looking stupid by not being able to open his bar as quickly as Schwartz and Sandy's, talking all that mess about it, and then having it play out on television that way, the way he's talked about something about her. He is so damn loud about anything anyone else is doing wrong. So then I think he knows, oh, well, if I'm screwing up, I'm going to be called out again after I've tried to prove to everyone that I'm so different. But the money aspect, yes, he, of course, anyone's going to take any type of partnership that works for them to bring in income regardless, but it tells you a lot that he is, you know, making up a story about spraying Rust-Oleum on his head for this little bald spot he has. You know, it's, he's trying so hard, and I understand being in that stressful point, but you've got the show. You know, if you were wise with your money, you could find ways to invest it. Get that high yield savings account, you know, things like that. But I don't think he knows how to do that.
He does, but he's someone that wants to make fast cash.
I mean, who doesn't?
You know,
who doesn't?
Of course, but to some extent, you have a family now, you have a house, and you can't take those high risks on stupid ventures. You know, yes, take the risk. You don't get reward without risk. But
of course,
you know, there's just, you've watched other people in your group try to do this and it does not land well. It doesn't give them the satisfaction that they thought they were going to get out of it. It doesn't clearly make them the money that would constitute, you know, warranting going through all of that, losing your relationship. And honestly, for what? To have a place where you can come and everyone can be your personal fan club? Because that's also really what this is all about. Otherwise, you wouldn't throw your name up there.
Well, and that's the thing too, the marketing aspect of it. Instead of just opening a bar. Now, my son's dad used to work at a place out in, we'll say the Valley, that was an axe throwing place, and you could still get drinks, things like that. The missed opportunity of naming a place, get jaxed, and it be an axe throwing place that they could have a, they could be going to events. They could literally, you could make that a chain. That's what I'm like. That is, you just wanted to open a bar. You weren't looking for a good business opportunity.
No.
That would have been a fantastic business opportunity. People want to have stuff like that at their parties. You just have to, the liability insurance is high, but you have people sign waivers out the wazoo before they come in. And people love those places. You can have axe throwing tournaments. That brings in a lot of money. It's a club that you have to pay a membership. It's like a whole thing. And I don't know why it's making me nuts. Maybe because he just has the name for it. Get jaxed. God.
Well, maybe after listening to this episode, he'll give you a ring and you can manage that.
Oh, you know what, honey? I'm busy. And plus, I'm sure he wouldn't have made it through 3 minutes of us talking shit on him. Even though he's wearing the Blocked by Jaxed sweatshirt he's telling Brittany he's going to tear up.
Listen, at this point, him being back on TV, he could stand a little trolling again. He needs to, oh yeah, I remember now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of Jax and the lack of hair, we get to his party at the Mondrian. Everyone just going ham on the, oh, the memories here. The memories.
I have memories.
There's a
there.
Lot that goes on at the Mondrian.
Honey, it looks the same as it did when I was 23. And oh my God, the number of times I've been there and the number of times we've had to see these casts go there is just, it's
such
where,
an easy point of like going there to film something.
Yeah. And it's very close to Chateau Marmont, ironically.
So really convenient for Jesse.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Real convenient.
Congrats on the hair loss. That's the title of this episode. So congrats on your sponsored partnership with a, what was it called? Zion?
That's what I was, yeah, thank you. Zion. And see, Zion makes me think of Mormonism.
Nothing negative. I've never tried it and I'm sure it is a great product. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it could be.
I'm just saying a cowlick Jax is not going bald. And that's exactly what it was. Who
He's
was it
thinning.
That said that? That it was a cow?
It was
Danny. Jesse, actually. It was Jesse.
Oh, was it Jesse?
Yeah. And I was like, because I remember being like, oh God, I'm agreeing with this piece of garbage. But like, I agree. It's a cowlick. You're literally going to come up with this whole Rust-Oleum bit. When did you ever spray black Rust-Oleum in your dark brown hair? But Brittany's sitting there signing off. Yeah, he did.
He really did do that.
That Rust-Oleum. I remember. Jax.
Jax.
Rotten Hail. We just need to be more romantic. You need to woo me.
God, you know, and that accent has not watered down a single bit.
Not not even an ice cube.
When they were riding the golf cart thing, I have never once seen anyone drive those around in Studio City, Valley Village. What the hell are you doing? Do you know
First
the way
all,
people drive there?
I was afraid that she was going to go bouncing off that thing into like traffic. The thing was going nuts. The camera was just like, it's
like,
literally a golf cart and they're driving it on the main road, like going through green light, red light. Like, what?
I mean, and when they were in the cart and she's like, well, nobody told me nothing about the bar. I'm like, Brittany, come on, girl. We're not in Kentucky. I'm sorry. That may have been snotty, but I'm from Oklahoma.
It needs
so
a woman's
it's...
touch, Jax. I need to be involved. Put me on the group messages.
I told you a woman's touch will be a plant wall in a bar where it's mostly dark when people go inside.
And then we'll get a neon light that says, you're pretty.
We'll go to Hobby Lobby and we'll put some flowers up around it. It'll be such a good Instagram shot, JX.
Actually, you know what would have been funny? If they did do a plant wall with a neon sign, but the sign said rotten hail.
Yes, missed opportunity again.
Do you not see, guys, how, well, she doesn't care anymore. She's like, fuck him, not even with his ass anymore. But
oh, she's going to need that child support.
I hope she trademarked. She needs to trademark rotten heel.
Or don't, because I have merch that says it.
Oh, or don't. Never mind. Listen, this event goes dark very fast. I feel like we are getting a lot of dinners from hell potential from this cast, and I love it.
And this one in a conference room.
I know. I mean, it's not Camille Grammer's house in Malibu, but it was a nice table setting. The vibe
sure looked, was.
Outside of the corporate office doors that were in the background, it looked very nice.
Mm-hmm. It did.
Look, guys, it's their first season. Look, it was nice. Okay, they had a very small budget to work with. They can't go out.
I love it though.
You know,
I love that though. I love the fact that it's lower budget. I don't, I love it. Like, please continue.
It's real.
Go to an Olive Garden. Go to a Red Lobster, okay? I want to see you at a Cracker Barrel screaming at each other.
It's real. I like seeing the glow up of a show.
I do too, but don't glow up too much.
I know.
I need it like this.
Can we wait until season 4 or 5 before you really come out of the gate with your G-Wagons? So listen, Jesse's got a stick up his ass, and it's clear he is not interested in being anywhere near anyone at this dinner. He's clearly got a lot on his mind. Michelle keeps trying to check in with him and let him know that he's coming off in a very standoffish way. He doesn't care. This is where we're starting to see this bratty teenage
angst
boy not getting what he wants, or he doesn't know what he wants. He says he doesn't want to talk about it, but he really secretly all he wants to do is talk about it, but he can't. So he's trying to play the game.
That.
And I fucking hate that so much.
That's why people are asking
so
you over and over.
Much.
Then stop Enough. Acting like something is wrong and people will stop asking you. And I mean, Giorgio, he was thinking about Burning Man. I wonder why.
Oh, really? Because you were down there talking to, like, Miss Burning Man herself, Jax, all of you, really.
She was playing it up for the cameras. I was sitting there,
to the Burning Man girl for doing her job. Shout out. We need more of you like that, exposing these old dirtbags on camera of how quickly they would be wooed by your appearance. And we knew she was going to play into it because, hello, look who they set up to go over there. Easy ones to take down.
There?
Easy ones.
Listen
and
to me when Michelle walked
over. We just
over
saw there. The edits.
Mm-hmm. When I tell you, it, all I kept saying was murder, jail, murder. If I were Michelle walking over there, because when she was like, and are you going to Burning Man? Okay, so then why are you over here?
That's some, you know what? Let me tell you something. That's some shit I would say. Oh, are you going? Are you going to Burning Man?
I can so
wow, I didn't know. Huh. And then I'd walk away because you're an idiot. Don't play in my face. You know what? That was a moment. That was a real moment, by the way. It wasn't overly dramatic on her part, but she let him know. Keep him around. And it's
like,
gonna,
you really think you're some
month.
Young?
It's going to be a month. I leave you not to. Keep it
Make
up.
It 4 weeks. And I also, like, I just kind of was hoping as well that she was also digging at him, like, oh, you think you're this young thing that's going to go to Burning Man with your dad bod and your graying hair? Not that anyone with those things couldn't go, but I think she was trying to remind him of that as well. I was like, okay, Michelle, okay, I see you. Me, I would have been like, and what the fuck is going on here? Huh? You put the boobs away. You quit looking at
no,
them.
No, keep your boobs out. I want you to stand here because it shouldn't matter if you're standing here butt-ass naked. Why are you over here talking to her like that? It's not her fault. What are you doing? Going to Burning Man, it seems.
See, I think it was just, I found her and I didn't dislike her, but it was beyond the realm of being inauthentic. It was almost like I felt like I was watching a really bad CW show for a second, and she was like the cute girl sent over to flirt with, I don't know, like Chuck Bass on Gossip Girl. And it was because it was so intense, and she knew what she was doing, and anyone can flirt with anyone and you can wear whatever the hell you want. But I think if I had seen that with my eyes, I'd have been like, okay, you chill the fuck out. But you, sir, mans, I have in my backyard a very conveniently sized 6-foot hole that is 6 feet deep. What should I do with it, sir? I could plant a garden, or I can plant a garden over something, or I can plant a very deep garden. Which one? Murder. Murder.
Do you remember when Left Eye burned the house down because she tried to burn all the sneakers? I understand more and more that behavior.
Snapped.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't care what you got. I don't care if you sell her to me. It's like how brutal it was. What did he do? What exactly was he doing for those 15 years before she ran him over 17 times in the parking lot of a Motel 6? Because he was doing what there? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Don't get me started, Ronald. Okay, we really need to get to the part.
Yes.
We start to see Zach turn into, as what you deemed him, a guardian angel. I believe he reposted that, by the way.
Yes. Yes.
He is truly the guardian angel.
He is. I want to point out right now, and I said this to you, none of those straight men came in to stop Jesse from plowing toward Kristen. Who was it? The guardian angel. And it was the whole thing. I know he was so serious, but I was absolutely cackling and in tears. I was laughing so hard because when Jesse shoves him and the look on Zach's face was like, oh God, this is going to be bad. This is going to be bad. And then when he realizes that's all Jesse did, he was like, oh. And then he gets up and of course has all the sass with the, oh my God, that's all you were going to do. And he had his hand out and Zach was speaking from below his diaphragm. Stop.
That was sending me to new heights. I would love nothing more. First of all, the other people in the room that just continue sitting there eating their salad, fuck all of you. You guys all just sat there, didn't even care to just see. You guys clearly heard
there was shoving
commotion.
I,
so what were y'all talking about while that was all happening?
Listen, I'll tell you what. I thought Michelle was about ready to deck Kristen.
I mean, she got in her face like that. You know what? We're going to start to see, I think, the real side of, well...
And that's the other thing, too. How did Brittany get so caught in the shoving? That was confusing to me.
Because she was standing in between them. And I don't know what. I don't even remember when she came out exactly.
No, Jax should have come out with her. But no.
He didn't care. He left. He was scared that they were going to throw his name out there. Yeah. He was afraid Kristen was going to be like, well, Jax said. But unfortunately for Kristen, she got it wrong again, Caitlin. She was loud and wrong again because we get this moment in the hallway. And she's like, I've been protecting you. I've been protecting you, Michelle. And she's like, you have no idea what your husband says about you when you're not around. And she's like, well, what is it then? And she's like, your husband is going to divorce you in 2 months.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to laugh. Mm-hmm. I really am.
So there you have it.
Kristen just
first. Dodie news. Jesse's leaving. He's gonna divorce you. That's what I heard. Then yeah. Jax is like, actually, that's not what it was. It's the other way around. Michelle's going to leave Jesse in 2 months.
But he didn't go correct it.
No. No.
And something about Kristen being so amped up. I'm so sorry, Kristen. It does make me laugh because you're like, it's like one of those car dealership, like wavy things. And she's just kind of like,
yeah, it's like someone turned that fan blower that makes it do that up to the highest notch. And she just goes, it was wackadoodle time, because at that point, Luke is lost in the sauce. He doesn't know if he's supposed to fight Jesse. Jesse clearly wanted to fight him. I felt like there was a lot of missed opportunities, but we end the episode where, I guess, you know, Michelle's calling everyone back into the room and doing her whole sit down, I'm going to say something. Sit down, I'm going to say something. Anyways, girl. enough. I'm not sitting anywhere. And 70% of the people are already sitting here because they didn't get up to come check on you. So,
anyways, girl.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what are we doing here? Sit down and listen to what story you concocted during this whole thing, because your cover's about to be blown, Michelle. Because let's be honest, Kristen wasn't lying about that part.
When the producer asked her in confessional, what secret is she talking about? And, well, I'll tell you what.
She knows. She knows it's going to come out. She's just mad it's coming out from Kristen, I guess. I don't know. But the point is, Kristen reveals that Michelle's essentially had a boyfriend for the past year, and that when they were having problems in their relationship about a year ago, she confided in her, and then I guess had started hanging out with someone. Now, I know that it was revealed that, you know, she is dating someone new.
Yes.
Who, and no offense, but at least the pictures I'm seeing, looks like he's done some crystal meth at some point. The eyes are bugging out. No disrespect. It just maybe some bad photos. I don't know. Anyways, she's clearly in a new relationship. I'm not certain that this is the guy that they're referring to of her being in the relationship or whatever for the past year. Maybe this is a completely new guy. I have no idea. But Kristen also says that now Michelle's, instead of protecting her friend, is protecting this guy. So there you have it. But it's very clear to me that everyone on this cast is said a lot of shit around about each other behind each other's backs. And they're willing to play game if they need to for these cameras. And that is why think it will definitely be getting a season two, because I know that reunion's going to be wackadoodle times 300, and you know it.
It's going to be so, so good. You know, and I wonder if the guy is this director that they keep bleeping out the name. I'm curious. I want to slow it down and find some sort of lip reader.
I just can't seem to understand. There's a reason also why they put a white box over what a caption would pick up. They didn't just put the star numbers, like, you know, like that.
Yeah.
I wonder why. Oh, maybe because people would count how many asterisks and figure it out through that.
Because we're, like, they know Bravo fans.
They know we're crazy like that. We're psychos.
You kidding me? I'm already talking about trying to figure out lip reading.
But some people have, some people's TVs, their captions will still pick up things that are bleeped out. Because someone did it. I think it was Talk of Shames did it for Potomac. It actually captioned the name of the rapper that Karen said that they silenced out. That you would think there's no audio, the caption wouldn't pick, it picked it up.
So not I'm wondering me checking
if someone out there
TV.
Is checking their captions, if they can go back to that episode and if their TV picks it up. Muchas gracias.
I'm gonna check. I'm gonna go check. I have access to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are about 6 different TVs I can try.
And even if it was, I can guarantee you that if she was, let's say, with some director that she was hanging out with and they were having any type of relations like that, she would have signed an NDA, hands down.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so even if that were the case, she's going to have to do the deny, 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 whether she wants to or not. She's not going to disclose that.
No, that's for
I wouldn't.
To figure
I wouldn't disclose who it was. I would pretend like, what? That's ridiculous. Oh, my gosh. You guys will come up with anything.
Never.
Anyways, this is my new boyfriend, Nolan.
This is Guy.
Well,
it's so good.
It's I'm telling you guys, we're at episode 6 and I'm guessing this is the halfway mark.
Yeah,
you might get a 12 episode package. That's pretty standard for a season 1, 8 to 12 episodes. So listen, I'm here for this. I am obviously going to continue to watch. We're going to definitely continue to recap. Some quick little reminders before I let you guys go. I will be doing an early launch of Patreon starting next week. So I'm figuring out a way to do something fun, promotional. Thank you to everyone who has trickled their way over there and subscribed to my Patreon. I truly appreciate that. And thank you to everyone for sending me those nice messages about joining Acast. Shout out to Acast. I'm very excited. And yes, Caitlin, tell everyone where they can find you as if they shouldn't already know.
Right. In case. Yeah. So you can find my podcast, Besties by Bravo, anywhere you listen. You can also watch Giorgio and I do the Vanderpump recaps on Thursdays live on YouTube, Besties by Bravo. That's typically, what time do we do it at? 3 p.m. Eastern Standard, 12 p.m. Pacific. And you can also follow me on Instagram, TikTok for as long as it's here with us, Besties by Caitlin, and that's C-A-I-T-L-I-N.
Amazing. Well, you know, tomorrow we have a lot to discuss about Vanderpump Rules because I obviously, it was just a lot. So I look forward to recapping it. So guys, make sure you check us out tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, YouTube Live.
Join the chat. It gets pretty lit up.
Because this episode, there was a lot going on, as per usual. But this particular episode, we have so much to dive into. But anyways, I am going to leave it there. But thank you guys all for listening to my podcast and tuning in. Thank you to Caitlin for taking time out of her day to recap the Valley with me.
And anything for you.
Yes. And same for you, because that's why I think we've now I think 2 days of our week we're working with each other at this point. So we're slowly building it into a work week where we just have to somehow connect on something.
Yeah, we have to. It's, you know, real life besties. Come on.
Yeah, if only we could just pull those states closer together.
Just zoom in, stretch it.
Just pull it in. Mm-hmm. But yes. check me out on all the places that you get your podcasts. I just checked this morning. We're smooth sailing. So I'm available on every platform. So check me out. Leave me a 5-star review if you feel the need, if you feel like you want to be nice.
Just do it.
And take time out of your day to write up a 5-star review. If you so love this podcast, I would greatly appreciate it.
Do it.
Also,
do it.
YouTube, hi, new subscribers. I am so happy. Shout out, and I'm going to be transparent about this because I'm transparent about anything. I will end this podcast episode, I promise. I just want to get this out. TubeBuddy. I want to shout out TubeBuddy for being very instrumental in helping me get the right motion in the ocean in terms of pleasing the YouTube algorithm so that I can reach you guys. So thank you to them. If you're a creator and you're struggling with YouTube, and I definitely, and it's not sponsored, I pay for it, but TubeBuddy definitely helped me. I talked to Caitlin about this pretty
You got me started using it. I use it as well. Yeah,
it just makes your life a lot easier, and it really kind of helps guide you. But nonetheless, Thank you to everyone always for the support. I will leave it here for real this time. And until the next episode, guys, I will talk to you on the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, guys and gals. This was Giorgio Says. Like and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And for all the latest updates, go follow Giorgio Says on Instagram. See you next time.